Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. You guys, this is the arena where people don't just chase success, they question it because you were not created to look successful. You were created to live in your full God-given potential with everything He created inside of you. You are built for more than the surface level wins and everything you've been through. That is not random. That is your message. And today's guest, Alan Lazaros, okay, from the outside, he had the life until one moment forced him to question everything. And you guys don't want to hear his story from me. That's the whole point of bringing him here into the hot seat. So I just want to say, Alan, thank you so much for being here today. My question out the gate is the same for everybody. Give us your elevator pitch and tell us what makes you special.
Thank you for having me, first of all.
Yeah.
I have been doing this 11 years now, and I remember in the beginning when it was crickets. So I'm very grateful. I really
Yeah.
appreciate it. You were also very graceful and respectful that I was late. So I appreciate that as well.
Of course.
So what makes me special or my elevator pitch, the sort of surface level one, I know we're going to go deeper, is
Yeah.
I'm the CEO of Next Level University. We have 2,382 episodes as of yesterday. We do an episode every
Congrats.
single day, which when you say that to a podcaster, they're like, what? When you say it to anyone else, they're like, whoop-de-doo, right?
Yeah.
But it's anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes, 1% improvement in your pocket from anywhere on the planet, completely free. And we have a pretty sizable company now, depending on what company you compare it to, but pretty good. And a seven-figure company now. And I'm the CEO, and we have a 24-person team. I'm a coach, trainer, and podcaster. So I call it my magic number. I have 6,979 coaching calls under my belt,
Wow.
6,979 hours with people from all over the world, different cultures, different backgrounds, different industries, different businesses. And I was a fitness coach and a mindset coach and a peak performance coach. And I was a life coach for a short time. Then I was a business consultant. Now I'm a business coach. But ultimately, it's been all different modalities of coaching with people from all over the world. And it's become very, very clear certain patterns that we all go through and sort of the struggle underneath the success and how they're both necessary.
Yeah, I first of all, Alan, thank you for saying they're both necessary because it's not like the universe waved a magic wand and they're like, Alan, you're blessed with all the success. Like, it didn't just come to you, it wasn't handed to you. There was no wishing your way to this, no sitting on the couch watching Netflix praying, like, please, can I get some coaching clients? Like, that's not the story, right?
No, it is not. Not even a little
Yeah.
bit.
And okay, so let's go to the part where I want to talk about, because there is an event in your life that I feel like created an incredible shift. You're doing everything right. So let's talk about the accident and what your life, what did your life feel like before that moment? And what was the big shift that kind of came through that?
Yeah, so what my life felt like before that moment, sort of maybe confused, like I was on a treadmill. And so to provide some context, at 26 years old, I got in a car accident. That's what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Head-on collision, not a fender bender, 30 miles an hour, lift-kitted pickup truck went up and over my car. Fortunately,
Wow.
no one was killed because it was my fault. So if anyone was killed, it would have been on me. No one was even permanently damaged, fortunately. However, in 1991, when I was almost 3 years old, my birth father died in a car tragically and suddenly. So for me, I was 26 at the time, and this was sort of the second chance he never got.
Wow.
And at the time, I did the traditional path. So I did preschool, kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, high school, college, corporate, and I did that very, very well. But the part I haven't told you about the story yet is I had a stepdad named Steve Lazarus, my real last name. My birth last name is McCorkle.
Okay.
So John McCorkle was my birth father. Jim, Joe, John, Jane, Joan, Jeanette. Six kids, all J. And born and raised in Massachusetts, born in 1988. I'm 37 now, hoping to hit puberty by 38,
I love it.
But the part that I haven't shared yet is my stepdad was around from age 3 to 14. And at 14, he left my family, took his entire extended family with him. We didn't associate much with the McCorkles anymore because we're trying to be the Lazaruses. And then my mom gets in a fight with my aunt Sandy, and we get kind of ostracized from her side of the family too. And he had 90% of the income. So he got the yacht and the apartment building. We got the house and the dog. But after that, we were you know, no cable, mom trades in her BMW for a little Honda Civic. How am I going to go to college? I get free lunch at school now because our income is so low, type of thing.
Yeah.
And so the whole, like, it's all just going to work out thing never was a thing for me. And so, you know, I looked into the future, no dad, no trust fund, no generational wealth. We're in some trouble. So I got straight A's through all of high school. I got into college, all the scholarships and financial aid I could get, computer engineering degree, master's in business, off to the races. And then I did, I achieved, I was a global 1% earner in my early 20s.
Wow.
Right.
That's incredible.
And tech company, paid off 84 grand worth of college debt in a single year, 150 grand in the stock market, doing very well. Then I get in my car accident that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And that, so before the car accident, it was a thriving social life, high school friends and college friends and corporate friends. It was too much. I was spread too thin. Yeah. The way I describe it is too little butter spread across too much bread.
Yep.
And then I get in that car accident, and that was my mortality moment. And I had so much regret. This is the part that's kind of hard to explain, because people thought that I was really happy, really right. fulfilled. And I think statistically, I probably was. I mean, it's not like my life was terrible. I achieved a lot of my goals and dreams.
Yeah.
But compared to now, awful. Just terrible. Yeah. So in hindsight, the regret that I had is, statistically speaking, and this is hard, like, I just want to be accurate, I don't think I made poor choices compared to the statistical norm.
Of course.
But in hindsight, I made a lot of choices that were out of alignment.
Yes.
And were not fulfilling. Yeah. And the regret I had more than anything, and this is the key, is I wasn't reaching my full potential.
Yeah.
I wasn't taking my health seriously. So after the car accident, I did fitness model, fitness competitor, fitness coach. Went all in, happy, healthy, productive, but I ended up broke. Personal development, self-improvement, personal growth, bought every book I could get my hands on, courses, you name it. I just started a company called Alan Lazarus LLC, what you'll never learn in school, but desperately need to know. I wanted to bring personal development to the school systems, because I looked back and I was like, I was a straight A student. Where was all this? Habits, goal setting, vulnerability, courage, humility, right? All the stuff that we're talking about now.
Yeah.
Why was this not taught in school? Where was the career development class? Where was the personal development class? Where was the courage, humility, and vulnerability class? Where was the relationship class? Where was the humility class, the character class? So the things that matter most, we aren't taught. And I wanted to change that.
Yeah.
And so I realized eventually I'm selling kale outside of a candy store. And good luck getting speeches at high schools and colleges with that tagline, right?
Right.
So I went broke, liquidated all my assets, blah, blah, blah. And then we started a podcast, and, you know, now it's gotten really good now. That was 11 years ago, my car accident.
Yeah.
So that's a long-winded answer to answer. It but is, I would say the yeah. main shift is, I focused on personal development, personal growth, and self-improvement instead of external achievement.
Yeah. And that's, you're spot on with not being taught that, because you're being taught in school that hurry up and finish school, go get more school. And then, you know, like, you just climb this, you just check all the boxes of what comes next. And
checked them all, baby.
Yeah. Incredible. But I think that's
checked
amazing.
Checked them all.
It's amazing, because you can look back at that, and people are striving for that right now. And I love this, because that message is, like, I think it's incredible. Strive for that stuff. But it yeah. does need to be in alignment. And there's a lot of things that's, you know, the universe is going to talk to you. God has got a message for you. And, you know, I love that you took yours, you know, not just the rejection of a stepdad and family issues. Like, that's a whole other, that's like another episode, right? Like, we can unpack all that. That's a whole other figuring out your identity, who you are outside of everyone else's decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But you literally had something that, again, meant to destroy you. But it was a wake-up call. And I think the most beautiful thing I see in people that I get to sit across from here is that they see the wake-up call and they take
yeah.
it. And it is the most empowering, you know, impactful thing that can ever happen. Why do you think so many people, because I know your perspective is going to be beautiful on this. Why do you think so many people are chasing that success and just being okay with feeling empty when they get it?
Yeah. I think most greatness, whatever you define greatness as, mm-hmm. starts out with insecurity.
Yeah.
Starts out with adversity. It's the hero's journey. It's the victim has low self-belief and low self-worth and is hurt deeply by some injustice. And then you either become the hero of your own story or the villain. Yeah. The villain has like inflated self-worth and thinks they're better than other people. And the hero is like, I'll put the whole team on my back at the expense of myself. And you martyr yourself to try to save the world.
Yeah.
That was me. And eventually you become the guide, which is someone who has accurate self-belief and accurate self-worth and who doesn't need to like martyr themselves to be fulfilled or to be of value. And so some people have inflated self-worth and they think they're better than other people with very little effort.
Right.
And other people, no matter how much effort they put in, the achievers, they're never enough. And I think, you know, we all have to figure that out for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, the villain is the ego. The hero is the martyr and the victim is it's everyone else's fault. And they don't take personal responsibility. And the guide is where we try to get, you know, the Dumbledores and the Gandalfs and, you know,
yeah.
all literature and movies have these archetypes. I always use Harry Potter as an example where when he breaks the Elder Wand and throws it away, that's when he's enough as he is.
Yeah.
He already conquered the villain and like, and Ron's like, no, that's right. The Elder Wand. It's like, well, Ron is still not enough yet. Right.
Yeah.
So, but you can't start there. You know, there's no 7-year-olds that's like, I'm enough already. You know,
you don't get to skip the steps.
You don't get to skip it. So, I forget what your original question was. I apologize for that. But
no, you're fine.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's, you know, just, I don't know either now. Jeez Louise. I don't
well,
know
that
why.
Means we were immersed. We're in flow.
We're in
flow.
The conversation. That's the whole point. That's the point of this. You know,
yeah.
Something about people chasing success, they still feel empty. You know,
oh, yeah, that.
Moments.
Yep.
But
it's vanity. So
yeah.
it's cosmetic vanity. It's external. It's fulfillment comes from meaning.
Yeah.
Right. Meaning comes from struggle and triumph over struggle and adversity. Like there's two types of adversity. There's the adversity life throws at you. And then there's the adversity that comes as an inevitable byproduct of having huge goals and dreams.
Yeah.
And I unintentionally chose both. I didn't choose the first one, but I had a ton of adversity growing up, like way more than I realized. And only in hindsight is that clear.
Of course.
And then I also had huge goals and dreams. So I also had like tons of adversity by choice too. And so you get very strong over time.
Yeah.
With that. And so why do people feel empty? What I said at top of this question was, I think most greatness starts in insecurity. I think that's the point is your goals and dreams are usually in the polar opposite direction of whatever caused you trauma and pain.
Yep.
So my stepdad left and we were broke. So for me, it was like wealth. Let's be a CEO of a tech company and let's, and I did that, but then it was like, oh, this isn't it.
Yeah.
But I think you have to get there to realize it because that was one stage in the journey.
Yeah.
Money doesn't buy happiness, but everyone wants to find out for themselves. Like,
yeah.
I was in my early 20s, I had $500 for rent, 2004 Volkswagen Passat, $5,000 cash. That car saved my life.
Yeah.
I didn't want to buy any depreciating assets. I had more than enough money. And I had to realize that through experiencing it, that wasn't the answer. It's a part of the equation, but not the whole equation. So that's the real reason is most goals and dreams start out in some level of vanity or ego.
Yeah.
And then when you achieve them, you realize that it was never about that. It was about growth and contribution and figuring out who you really are in the world.
Right. What do you think has been the hardest throughout your experiences? What has been for you personally, the hardest identity shift that you had to make in the process? We cling to ego, man. We cling to ego. It's sometimes harder to let go than, you know.
So the thing that comes up for me that was the hardest on this journey, and I'll try to attach this to my ego if I can.
Yeah.
Leaving, like, along this journey, this is still even hard for me to share. It's hard for me to realize how few people statistically are actually going to achieve their goals and dreams.
Yeah.
That's been like devastating for me.
Yeah.
Because as a kid, I had so many friends and so many goals and dreams. And as you get older and older and older, you realize that a lot of people, let's say, we'll use a metaphor, Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm.
So many people get off at base camp 1 and never get to base camp 2. and never get to base camp 3 and 4. So the hardest part of this journey for me has been staying in alignment with my purpose and my goals and dreams and mission at the expense of relationships.
Yes.
Like leaving people behind, for lack of better phrasing,
yeah,
has been by far the hardest part. And I think that all of us have one of two struggles. And this is from my coaching practice. Like I'm not making this up. This is just the two struggles.
Yeah.
One of them is you believe in yourself a ton and you are going to do whatever it takes to get to your goals and dreams.
Yeah.
And you have to leave people behind to do it. You have to sail away.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're actually not, you don't believe in yourself that much at all. And you have to watch other people sail away. Like you either struggle with success and competence and capabilities, or you struggle with relationships. Because if you're good at self-belief and competence and capable, you don't know why, but nobody likes you.
Right.
And it doesn't make any sense. It's like, you're so kind to everybody. What's the deal? Why does no one like me? They're insecure. They're pretending to believe in themselves. So you either struggle with belonging because you're at the top of the bell curve, or you are fit in everywhere, but you don't believe in yourself. And some level of those two struggles is sort of the main archetypes. And when I was a kid, I thought everyone believed in themselves, but I didn't realize how little they did because they were mirroring me, and I was naive.
Yeah. I relate to that so much, Ellen, and in that, like, the leaving people is the hardest part, because I see so many people and I can see them for their potential, and I just want to like shake the shit out of them sometimes. And I'm
Same.
Like, listen to me, you know, and that's what has become my passion, right? I'm going to keep preaching the same, you know, methods of potential and how it's possible for anybody. If I can find my way out of shit, okay, anybody could do that. And I just am like, I feel that frustration, and, you know, and that pull of like, you know, people are pissed off because I went ahead and did the thing I said I was going to do, and I invited them to come with me and I didn't. And now they just are sitting in their lack. And they're sitting in what they could have done. And, you know, losing people, I think, you know, I've had to coach a lot of people through that process of like, you know, your family isn't always going to support you, because you highlight their insecurities and everything they're not doing. And it does bring a lot of hate. And so it's kind of lonely. It's genuinely, it can be a lonely experience and a frustrating
for
one.
Sure.
You just want to save the world. Like, you guys have no idea what it's like. Okay. Just to feel so good about what you wake up and you get to do. And I, you know, I can relate to that so much. I love this. You found personal development. And I think there is a lot of bullshit in that arena, to say it mildly. So what actually worked for you, and what
Same.
Do you think is just noise?
Excellent. 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 This is good.
Yeah.
This is good. Yeah, no, I think at the beginning I was, this is amazing. And, you know, and eventually you realize 80% of it is absolute horseshit.
Yeah.
What did I realize? What do I think is noise?
Yeah.
Anyone who's trying to convince you that you can be successful without a shitload of hard work is lying.
Lying.
They're lying. And they're usually on. So in finance, there's these two concepts. There's the, I coach several people in finance, actually.
Yeah.
And there's the accumulation phase, and then there's the distribution phase. So the accumulation phase is you invest for 40 years.
Yeah.
And then you can retire and live off the income of your investments. The people on the distribution phase are teaching the people in the accumulation phase, but two decades before they were grinding.
Right.
You got to be very careful for that. Like, okay, I'm 11 years into business, nine into podcasting.
Yeah.
We had a $90,000 day this year.
Yeah.
That's more than we made in the first 3 years in one day.
Yeah.
So if I'm like, hey, work smart, not hard, that's the worst advice ever for someone at the beginning.
Yes.
So work hard and smart.
Yeah.
Be confident and humble. It's the duality. So anyone who's preaching only one side of the coin is most likely at a different phase of life, and they don't realize that what got them here is actually very different. So the 4-hour work week is a metaphor for, like, that's just absolute crap.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can have a 4-hour work week when you're 50 and you already have a brand and a company and you can work really smart. Like, I was just on with someone who did 9 million last year. Like, his life is very different than it used to be. And he's now the leader that people are looking to for advice. But when he was, you know, on the couch eating Cheetos in college, the last thing he needed to hear was work less.
Right.
So anything that is trying to convince you that working less is optimal is most likely horseshit.
Yeah. I love that you're saying that. And the hustle culture, I think that that is another round of bullshit, because when they say hustle culture, they want you hustling for their story. Okay.
Nice.
And I've learned, like, I'm anti-hustle culture, but all of a sudden, you know, I'm running 8 or 9 interviews every single day and I'm creating content, and it's so consuming, but like, not for a minute do I come in here and think like I'm killing myself for work. Like, it, when you're in alignment,
nice,
you put the hours of the day and you're not a part of the hustle culture. You know, there's still space to get the rest. And if everything I'm doing is continuing to fill me up, then there is no hustle burnout, right? And every single show I have, I'm just like, wow.
We just described the two extremes.
Yeah.
The you don't have to work at all, 4 hours a week, work smart, not hard. Mm-hmm. The other one, it'll all work out.
Yeah.
I think winging it and trusting that it'll all work out with no systems, no structure, and no work is arrogant. That's my truth. The other side is you shouldn't, you know, sleep faster, sleep 6 hours. No, nope. There's a center point. There's an optimal, we call it the drive to five, 0 to 10, drive to five at our company. And that center point is different for each of us, not only uniquely as one of the 8 billion people on planet Earth, but also uniquely, I'm Alan version 3.7.
Yeah.
That's different than 2.7, who was a bodybuilder.
Right.
Like, my peak performance is predicated on the 37-year-old version of myself.
Right.
And it changes daily. And for women, it changes with your 28-day cycles. Yeah. Right. So what does peak performance look like tomorrow than today? I'll give you an example. So I do hashtag miles for mindset.
Okay.
I started doing it 20 days ago. We have a 10-pound and a 10-week challenge, 28 people in it, 55 people in the group. It's really, So I was behind. I was behind because February 1st was weigh-ins, April 11th it ends, 10 pounds in 10 weeks, 70 days. We do it every year. And I was behind. I figured out why I was behind, by the way. Coconut milk has way more calories than you ever could have imagined. What the hell? I was doing coconut rice. Two cups of coconut milk, 400 calories times two, 800 calories a day. Wait, what was I thinking? I thought it was like almond milk, you know? Not the same. I still make mistakes. But anyway, so I started running a mile a day, every day.
Yeah.
In addition to the 60 minutes of exercise Emily and I have been doing. My point is, tonight I'm going to run a mile. And I already said it. I felt how I was today. I'm like, I'm probably going to get like an 8.5. Yeah. Yesterday I tried to PR. I got a 7:27. It's a micro PR. I've ran faster in the past, but like in this last 20 days, that's my new PR is 7:27. So some days I'm like, this is the day we're going to PR, better our best. Other days it's okay. I'm going to still push it, but I'm not going to get injured.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I love that. This made me think of, you know, the thing that you're doing with this program and the 20-day challenge. Consistency matters in the arena. It really does matter. And I want to say that, you know, consistency is not sexy all the time. It gets quiet and it's not exciting. So what does it look like, and how would you encourage people to continue with consistency when it's not hot? Like, it's not.
You're encouraging me to these are not likable opinions necessarily. I'm not fun at a barbecue.
Yeah, no.
But that's not why we're here, right?
Exactly.
So this is what I say to, so I have 28 clients currently, and one of them is 4 times a week. One of them is 3 times a week. One of them is 2 times a week. I call them my Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
And they are nuts. I mean, straight up in the best way.
Nice.
And I am too. So I haven't missed a day of exercise. My partner, Emily, and I have not missed a day of exercise. I kid you not, 1,485 days.
That's incredible.
Thank you. It was cool at first, and now it's like, I don't even want to share it because people are going to think I'm lying or I'm an a-hole. But anyways, 4 years plus.
Yeah.
How did we do that? And this is what I say, and we have a Next Level Fitness Accountability Group, and that's where we did the challenge. Okay.
Yeah.
I say this to everybody. If the weather and external circumstances, because I went for a run in late night and freezing rain the other night, and it wasn't pleasant.
Yeah.
And I said this, I could probably read it to you, but something along the lines of, did my mile, wasn't the best, but if external circumstances dictate whether or not I exercise, I'm never going to be consistent.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want to share. You're not going to be consistent if you only exercise when you feel like it. I love when it's raining because I know no one else will be out. Mm-hmm. And I love being alone, like hood up, solo, and or with Emilia. We love when it rains. We put on our ponchos and we go out, like, and no one else is out. And it's mind blowing. It's like you walk only when it's nice out. What the hell are we doing here? So I'm a little nuts. I've learned over time. I didn't realize how intense I was until like later on, but I don't give a fuck if it's snowing or raining or sleeting, or it doesn't matter. Yeah. My actions are not dictated by external circumstances. It doesn't matter if it's a holiday. It doesn't matter if it's my birthday. Like, it's happening no matter what. And the truth is, you're never going to be consistent if every time there's not a sunny day, you decide to stay in.
Right.
And if you can't be consistent, you're in some serious trouble when it comes to success, because that's the most important skill for success is consistency. Yeah.
And your decision to like go outside, no matter the weather, is an incredible decision. And I want you guys to understand that this reflects everything. We're not just talking about working out. Mm-hmm. Okay. That means like moms who have the excuse of like this, this, and this,
mm-hmm.
like there is a non-negotiable that you would cling to be able to continue. Life is not like, hey, Alan, we're going to pause all the bullshit so that you can get your shit together and you can have a really great day today and you can be productive. So, you know, that flat tire you were going to get, nah, we'll save that for someone else. That coffee you just spilled on your shirt, we'll bump into someone else. Like every single thing, like when you can develop the mindset like Alan has, and I think it's incredible. I don't think you're nuts. I'm thinking, wow, I skipped last Thursday and he's gone like a million days. What am I doing? Right. Like, so you know, you're incredibly inspiring, and it's not one of those moments where, you know, people can talk and it's unrelatable. I think this is important because health is everything. You don't have your health, I don't care how much money in the world you have, you're done. So
agreed.
What you're doing is incredible, but I mean, this is applicable to everything in your life, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No excuses. So choose your non-negotiable. Who cares what the weather is like? I'm going to do it anyway. And I think you guys would get really far moving that needle. Just keeping just one non-negotiable. I'm not saying take your whole life and break it down. I'm saying just pick one non-negotiable for something that's important to you.
Yeah.
You know,
I always say one is too few and five is too many. The most you can do is three. So I chose health, wealth, and love. Those are the three pillars. But thank you, first of all, for your kind words. I really do appreciate it,
because
I do think that a lot of people roll their eyes and why do you work out so much? And it's like, why don't you work out?
Why don't you? Yeah.
Like, why are you making fun of me? Like, what happened? Like, I thought that working out was like a good thing. You know, why do you read so much? It's like, what? Why don't you read? Yeah. Right. So at the end of the day, I'm very grateful. And one thing I'll say, as someone who has tried to have too many non-negotiables.
Yeah.
There's a, that's a good way to destroy your self-worth is to have six non-negotiables every day. Right.
Yeah.
Try to keep it to three
at
max, one at minimum.
Yeah. That's amazing. I have another question. I actually have two questions left. I know we're coming up on our time right now. So, my first one is right now, like, what does Alan's next level actually look like? What are you working on? Where are you headed?
Yeah. So we just revamped the business model 2 days ago because we were spreading ourselves too thin. We have 16 departments. We have a charity. We have 24 person team, 130 paying clients. We produce 86 podcasts.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. So, and I'm very grateful. It's a great problem to have. It's very different than it used to be. It's much nicer on this end, but it's still hard.
Yeah.
And so the next level, what does it look for? One thing that I'll share with everybody, success does not make life easier. It makes certain things easier.
Yeah.
But I have more responsibility now than I've ever had.
Yeah.
By far, actually.
Yeah.
So success does not make life easier. You handle hard better.
Yes.
Okay. That's a really powerful quote. If your day to day is hard, your future will be easy. if your day-to-day is easy, your future will be hard. That those are paradoxes. We don't talk, we should have taken a course on paradox. Paradox is everywhere, right? Yep. Work smart, not hard. No, no. But anyways, right. To answer the original question, what's the next level look like for me? It's, I have this success snowball over here written on my whiteboard. I keep looking over here because I have a whiteboard over here.
Yeah.
Coach more, earn more, delegate more.
Yeah.
Coach more, earn more, delegate more. I am very much, I used to think I liked podcasting, and I do compared to most things.
Yeah.
But I call it the want, love, hate framework.
Yeah.
All of us have, every client I tell this to, want more clients, love one-on-one coaching, hate social media.
Yeah.
Okay. Want to be in great shape, love weight training, hate dieting, hate it, hate dieting. Coconut milk. I'm kidding. All right. But the truth is we all have, what we want is on the other side of something we can't effing stand or someone we can't effing stand. So there's no such thing as something for nothing, but where am I going with this? My next level, I'm a coach who tolerates podcasting. Kevin's a podcaster who tolerates coaching. That's my business partner.
Yeah.
My next level is figuring out how to do more and more and more coaching and less and less and less of everything else without the business taking a hit.
Yeah.
And I've been actually more discerning with what shows I go on now. And again, don't start there. I need to preface this in the beginning, accept whatever shows you can. Right. Yeah. Cause people are like, oh, well, Alan, you know, doesn't get out of bed for any less than a Jibo. Like, no, do not start there. I'm concerned that this is too entitled.
Yeah.
Okay. But I have 28 clients about to be 29. I want to do more coaching, coach more, earn more, delegate more, coach more, earn more, delegate more. Yep. So I like one-to-one better than one to scale and one to several. So I coach, train, and podcast, but I'm doubling down on coaching. So that's my next level.
Yeah. I think that's incredible. And a great truth to share, a great way of explaining that. So my last question now, if that accident you were in never happened, do you think you would still be living a life that wasn't yours?
I would be living a life that was less aligned than I am now.
Yeah.
Definitely. But it's not a one or a zero. It's computer engineer, so everything's numbers.
Yeah.
It's like 0 to 10. Let's say I'm 10 out of 10 aligned now, even though I'm getting more aligned. So technically you're never a 10.
Yeah.
So 9.9. I probably would still be like an 8 in terms of alignment with my highest potential, my greatest level of contribution. Like, I think that that's what we're all really after. Like,
yeah.
As someone who had his biggest day recently, it was awesome.
Hell,
and if you saw me the previous day, the day and the day after, nothing changed. Like, I'm still, and by the way, the $90,000 day, that is based on what we did for the previous 9 years. That's not like that just happened. So I tell my business partner, don't you dare step off the gas. Like, this is the beginning for us. Okay.
Yeah.
But the point that I'm making with that is I would definitely be less aligned, but definitely not as misaligned as I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Where can people find you?
My brain just said the internet. No.
Yeah.
So if you can Google or ChatGPT, whatever you use, my name, and research before you reach out. Because honestly, I'm not for everybody. I know that. You probably already turned this off if I'm not. So nextleveluniverse.com is our website.
Yeah.
We do masterclasses every month. We have a group coaching program we do every quarter. I have a book club I've been doing for almost 6 years. I have one-on-one coaching. We got group coaching. We got all kinds of stuff. But our podcast is called Next Level University. And it's the tagline is success and personal development in your pocket from anywhere on the planet every single day, completely free. And at the end of the day, the truth that I'm starting to share with people is like, it's not designed to make you feel good.
No.
I think we care about you getting better more than you feeling good about yourself. Like, feeling good about yourself is important. Self-esteem, self-worth, I get it. But this overly validating horse shit is not useful. Like, I don't need someone to tell me I'm already smart enough. I need someone to tell me where my blind spots are.
Yeah.
So Next Level University is very old school, where we are not validating. We're not going to validate anything. You are capable of more. You do have a bigger, better, brighter future if XYZ. So if you're interested in very intense truth and accurate thinking, you're going to like us a lot. And somewhere along the journey, I just realized like, we're not for everybody. I'm not interested in any of that overly validating stuff. The world is doing a lot of that. This is what I say. This is my joke. And I don't know how old you are, but I grew up in the 90s. So born in 1988. In the 90s, we made fun of infomercials. Now the internet is an infomercial. It's brutal. I can't even with it. And so NLU isn't. NLU is the opposite. It will be shocking at first. Mm-hmm. We're kind and we're respectful, but there's not going to be any, oh, don't worry, you're out of shape and that's okay. Like, there's none of that. It's going to be, you could be better and you can know it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. I love that. And this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special for whatever my opinion's worth, but it's not the success. It's not the numbers. I think that's all incredible. Absolutely. It's the fact that you're willing to question the life that looked good on paper and not just admit that it wasn't enough, because a lot of people don't do that. You know, they stay comfortable. They become the victim. They stay distracted and then they go deeper down the hole and continue to point fingers at everybody else. You rebuilt your life from the inside out. And now you're committed to helping other people do the same. And I think the most incredible part of this is that, you know, when you're in business, any coach that I've ever worked with has been like, be soft. You can't say that. You can't tell the truth. You're going to hurt people's feelings. You do not coddle people. The world does not need to be coddled. It needs that abrasive truth. And it is everything I stand for, everything my shows represent. And I think that right there is your magic, because people need the truth. Okay. We're not here to feel good. We're here to grow and step into our potential and steward that responsibility, and you're fucking nailing it. And I just am in awe, and I'm so grateful that you came on here to share with me today. I'm like, wow, this is so great. Everyone listening, you guys, be honest with yourself, not about what looks good or what feels good, but what actually is the right thing for you. God did not create you to check the boxes and call it a life. You are here to grow, to stretch, and to become who you're actually meant to be contagious, courageous, stand in the truth unapologetically, to be magnetic. You guys, I'm telling you, your mess, that stuff meant to destroy you, that is your message. And the moments that shook you, the things that forced you to wake up, that's where your power is. Okay. And that's it. If you've lived something, learned something, figured something out, you should be using your voice. That's, you know, that's it. There's nothing else to be said right there. But right now, you guys, if this episode hits you, please share it, like, subscribe, leave a review. Stars are super cute. But like, if you don't type something, it takes less than 2 minutes, then the people that need to hear Alan's journey are not going to hear it if you keep this to yourself. And I think that's incredibly selfish. So I'm just asking you to share. Let's get Alan in people's pockets, because you don't need to be coddled any more than you already are. We want you to get the hell off the couch and actually do something with your life. Okay. So I adore you guys. I appreciate you being here again. Alan, thank you so much. But if you guys are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Thank you.
Thank you.